All right, so Lauren, have you ever felt the need to walk across a vast expanse on a tightrope or, you know, maybe try to jump over it on a motorcycle or parachute right into it?
You know, I can't say that I have felt that need, but it would be fun to watch.
Oh, you're more of a daredevil than that. Come on. Well, one of the most popular places to try those spine-tingling stunts is, of course, the Grand Canyon, or in some cases, side canyons adjacent to the Grand Canyon. Todd Berger writes about this in his book, It Happened at the Grand Canyon. Berger is the former director of publishing at the Grand Canyon Association and was based at the park. He joins me now via Skype. And Todd, how popular has the Grand Canyon been over the years for people trying to do tricks or stunts or other publicity-seeking types of events?
It's kind of gone in fits and spurts over the years. There have been certain times where things have occurred, particularly in the 1920s and the 1950s, and there was also a string of events such as Evel Knievel and his son Robbie Knievel doing jumps on side canyons of the Grand Canyon. A Hualapai Indian described the side canyon that Evel Knievel jumped over as barely a wash. the National Park Service naturally frowns on these types of activities in the park, and they do have to issue permits for things like this to happen.
And it does seem like a fair number of these happen on tribal lands adjacent to the park as opposed to in the park itself.
Yes, that does seem to be the case. As I mentioned with the Evel Knievel jump, which I think was in 1969, it was on Hualapai land, which borders a good chunk of the western part of the park.
What is the allure of people to try to walk across, jump across, do some other kind of daring feat involving the Grand Canyon?
I think there's a couple of things. One, it's, of course, one of the seven natural wonders of the world. So it's a world famous place. Just about everybody is familiar with the Grand Canyon. And I think also it has a reputation as a dangerous place. You know, certainly there are, you know, as high as 3,000 foot cliffs at the Grand Canyon. And the idea of doing a stunt there just seems particularly dangerous. So you're almost bound to get attention when you're doing this. And this is often what people doing these types of stunts are looking for.
Like if you're going to do it, you should just do it at the most famous place you could possibly try it.
Exactly. Yes.
And it seems as though this is not, as you referenced, a new phenomenon. People have been doing this almost as long, for example, as Arizona has been a state.
Yes, definitely. You know, you can go back all the way to 1911, 1912, the Kolb brothers, they were pioneering photographers at the Grand Canyon, and they were one of the first people to travel down the Green River and then the Colorado River all the way down through the Grand Canyon to the Gulf of Mexico when it went that far and filmed their adventure. And their film was showed for some 70 years at Grand Canyon National Park, showing, you know, what they had done. But even at that early stage, they were looking to record what they were doing. They weren't simply looking to accomplish it.
Was there a time when the National Park Service was more likely to let people do things like this in the canyon or inside the park itself?
Well, not officially. Although, for example, in 1955, two gentlemen went on a rather innovative adventure to swim the Colorado River inside Grand Canyon. And you got to remember at this point, this was before the building of Glen Canyon Dam and the regulation of the water in Grand Canyon. And they didn't really recognize the danger, but they also lined up as much publicity as they could. But the word got out and they got halfway down to, I believe they went out the South Kaibab Trail to the South Rim to resupply and take care of some problems that they had with some of their equipment and things like that. And the Park Service at that time strongly encouraged them to stop their adventure. But they were insistent on continuing, and the Park Service essentially decided to let it continue.
Well, are there particular feats either attempted or completed that either at the time or even after really sort of captured the public's imagination and people maybe still refer to or think about or talk about today?
That's certainly one of them that I just mentioned. There was one adventure that I can think of off the top of my head. It happened in 1922. And this, you've got to remember, this is the early years of aviation. The common wisdom was in the biplanes of the era It would simply not be possible to land a plane inside the Grand Canyon and fly it back out again. And Ellsworth Kolb, one of the Kolb brothers who I mentioned earlier, thought that this would be a good idea. He himself was not a pilot, but he found a pilot who thought this might be a good idea to try. And with the okay of the National Park Service, of the superintendent himself, found a location on the Tonto platform down inside the canyon to land their biplane. And they were able to actually fly up over the South Rim, where there were just huge crowds of people watching it, and then land their plane down in the canyon. They had some wind conditions and had to actually wait till the next day to fly back out. But they managed to attract quite a crowd, too, with that. So, yes, there were incidents where things definitely became notoriously incredible stunts that people did at the Grand Canyon, sometimes with the okay with the National Park Service.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are obviously headlines recently when Will Smith decided to go bungee jumping into a side canyon to celebrate his birthday. Is this still something that,
yes,
that people try to do in terms of some kind of daring stunt involving the canyon itself? Do they still ask the Park Service or approach tribes whose reservation and land are adjacent to the park to try to do something on their land?
Yes, it does. It does happen fairly often. I believe the requests go into the Park Service. The Park Service turns them down a lot, and sometimes people then, you know, scrap their plans. But tribal land is private land, and there are large portions of tribal land that are part of the Grand Canyon ecosystem that have pretty remarkable topography and certainly areas that seem like, you know, whether they're part of the official national park or not, it seems like the Grand Canyon. And yeah, these things come up quite often, I think.
All right. Todd Berger is author of It Happened at Grand Canyon. Todd, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.